and I love being here, and I love seeing God work in each of our lives in His own gentle way. And I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, and I want to read verses 8 to 14. Ephesians chapter 5, and the title of the message today is Light in the Lord Lived Out. And we spent the last few weeks focusing on what the text says about what the light consists of, what we're supposed to be. And so as we've worked our way through the doctrinal parts of Ephesians, and now is the part where it applies to our lives. And, you know, church can become dry and boring when we just focus on the head knowledge and we don't put it into practice. And so that's what this section of Scripture is. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, to change us, for us to surrender to Him so that God does mighty things. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, he says, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Father, I pray that you'd move aside anything that I have to say today and only let your Spirit speak. God, I pray that somehow you'd use my weakness. Lord, that you'd somehow use all the things in my life, Lord, that are weak, God, so that you could display your glory and your power. God, I pray that you would remove things in our hearts, God, right now in the name of Jesus, that would get in the way of this message. That you'd remove preconceived ideas and notions, Lord, things that get in the way, junk that's in our life, God, that you'd clean us out from the inside out. Lord, we give you all the glory in your name, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Light in the Lord lived out. Number one, those that are light in the Lord have a different walk. Those that are light in the Lord have a different walk. He says at the beginning of the text, be careful how you live or how you walk. And walking is a terminology of how we live our daily Christian life. It is action, right? So now we move from the doctrine to the action part. And so they're aware of and pay attention to whether they are living wisely or not. Now, when we look at the word wisdom, it's not just gathering information and knowledge, although that's part of it. It's not just having an experience or having skills. But wisdom is correctly applying the knowledge, experience, and skills that you've gained in your Christian life. Or in other words, we become skillful in our living. Practical action is governed by integrity. In other words, our actions match our words, but what actions, what words? The content of wisdom is obviously the knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. And forming the best plans and using the best means for the execution. So wisdom includes two things, the content of the knowledge, but also the application of it. So when we think about putting together plans to live out the Christian life and thinking of the best possible way to do that. I know when I was young and serving the Lord, I didn't do everything the best. There wasn't the best execution in how I lived out the Christian life. I was chocked full of legalism and rules, and things had to be a certain way, and it had to be this style, and it had to be this way, and it had to be this kind of thinking. And God grew me out of that. And in time, if we surrender ourselves to God's Spirit, we start to become skillful in our living. But we have to live it. You know, it's enough to say, you know, we can come to church every Sunday and say amen, and I agree with that. That's an exciting, that was a great message. But if you don't go home and say, God, how does this work in my life? If you don't start to apply the principles, you will live as unwise. He says, look carefully then how you walk. He says, pay attention. Look at what's going on in your thoughts. Look at what's going on in what you're looking at. Look at what's going on in what you're speaking. Look at what's going on around you. Look at how your actions affect others. And so he says, carefully examine how you're walking as God has called us to not only operate in knowledge, but in wisdom. And I want to encourage you to make that a prayer, because God, one of Paul's prayers says, I pray that you'd give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. That was earlier in Ephesians, that I might know you better in the hope of my calling. I've given you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And so we need to begin to pray and say, God, I need wisdom. I have a mind. How many have completed 3 or 4 Bible studies in your lifetime? How many have listened to more than 20 sermons? How many have read more than 20 pages of the Bible? That's more than enough to now begin to have skillful way of living in our lives. But it has to go from upstairs to downstairs. See, there's a big gap between the head and the heart, but the Holy Spirit lives inside the Spirit when we get saved. And if we don't open ourselves up to Him and surrender to Him, it's going to stay upstairs and never get downstairs in the heart. And so wisdom is opening ourselves up to surrender to the Spirit so that we can skillfully live out. You know, when the disciples, I think about, were gathered around Jesus, they said, Jesus, how should we pray? And so we recite today the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord's Prayer was meant to have categories of how we pray, how we give our life to Jesus Christ. We start with our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Reverence and worship to God first. And so we should have that kind of attitude. Jesus, I know I read this. I know I've quoted John 3:16 how many times, but help me understand it and live it out in my life. Number two, those that are light in the Lord use their time wisely. And now we're going to talk about the whole crux of this message is being filled with the Holy Spirit, which essentially means to be controlled by the Spirit or Him have leadership in our life. But those that have the Spirit's leadership in their life use their time wisely. Now, I don't know about you, but I've looked back on my life, and this Greek word for time, there's many words in the Bible for time, but this particular one has to do with opportunity, what's happening right now. How God is working right now. Where God is moving in your neighborhood right now. He says, they see time as an opportunity to shine the light of Jesus. He says, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Now, sadly, and I think back over my life with regret, and even over this past week and over this last month, and I say, wait a minute, did I really make best use of my time? Probably not. And most certainly my wife will say that I did not. As I was rushing around to get things last minute these last few days and getting ready for this trip. But what about God's kingdom? What about the neighbors next door? So we got to chuck out the regret from the past. Because today is a new day. Whatever you did in the past, however you wasted your time, God has still given us the breath of life. Amen? God has still given us another opportunity to yield to the Holy Spirit. He's still given us a chance to say, I want to make the best use. I want to look for opportunities to slow down enough to look the cashier in the eyes and ask them how they're doing, and maybe there's an opportunity to share Christ, to go rake your neighbor's leaves. Maybe there's an opportunity to share Christ, to talk to a brother or sister when you come to Sunday meeting or Wednesday meeting, and, and find out what's beyond the God bless you, brother, and how you doing today. It is an opportunity. And I lived a lot of my life in discouragement and in depression and being struggling with. And then when I think, you know, if we have this Holy Spirit-filled living and we look at everything as an opportunity, doesn't that kind of change our outlook on life? Your job is an opportunity. Your family is an opportunity. When you go to the gas station, it's an opportunity for Jesus. When you go to the grocery store, it's an opportunity for Jesus. When you are teaching your kids, when your kids go to school, it's an opportunity for Jesus. And when you get into that car, it's an opportunity for Jesus. When you get on that plane, when you have those people in your office at work, it is an opportunity for Jesus. And God has called us to be aware. He says, be careful how you live. Don't be unwise, but instead look for where God is working. And that's what the neighborhood hill parties are all about. Is we got to get out of our holes, so to speak, in our little caves and our little private areas of our home. Say, I don't want anybody touching me here, right? I don't want my neighbors coming to my house and seeing how I live. I don't want them knowing what I got. It's opening our lives up for opportunity. It's using every resource that we have for the kingdom of God. Your home you've been given, your property you've been given, your car you've been given, your family you've been given is an opportunity for Jesus. What would happen to this whole Taze Valley if every church member of all these churches in the area started to live for opportunity? Wow. We might just see a Holy Spirit revival. We might just see people come to Christ. And so, brothers and sisters, I'm sharing with you my weaknesses. I'm sharing with you I haven't always made the best use of my time. So from now on, we got to help each other with this. From now on, we have to hold each other accountable. How are we using our time? And that doesn't mean that everything is always serious and it's always a sermon and we're always preaching, as God has called us to live balanced lives. It's recreation, it's vacation, it's all those things. But are they opportunities for Jesus? You know, when I was young, I used to think that everything had to be, you know, this idea of following Jesus, everything had to be serious. And if you had a little bit of fun, you were wasting your time. If you played a basketball game, you were wasting your time and you were not being spiritual. That's baloney. Because it is through the basketball, it's through the hiking, it's through the music, it's through all those things, riding the tractor, whatever it is your thing that you get on, the lawn tractor. It's an opportunity for Jesus. Opportunity to live for Him. The other thing about this opportunity is that when we're surrendered to the Spirit, we're aware of how evil society really is and the need for God's power to flow in their life. When's the last time you thought about your neighbor dangling over the flames of hell? They could die at any moment. When is the last time you thought of how, well, probably the last time you watched the news, probably, how evil and wicked society is? You know, what we want to do as Christians, when we see how evil society, we have a tendency to do this. We have a tendency to get around a campfire and say, I can't wait till Jesus comes. I'm biding my time when I get to glory land. And we sing those songs and things like that. Instead, it ought to do the opposite. It ought to motivate us. It ought to awaken us to say, there is a need. Jesus is coming back soon. God saved my soul. And it, even if it was just that, it would have been enough. And if I have that day and new lifestyle that Rob shared about, is that it would have been enough. It would have been enough. I will see the need for those that are dying without Christ. that'll have a passion and an opportunity. This is what the Holy Spirit is all about. He's all about Jesus. He's the glorified Jesus. It's not about all these fringe things that happen when the Holy Spirit moves. It's about Jesus. The Holy Spirit's job is to give glory to Christ. And He can only do that when we see that the days are evil, that we need Holy Spirit power. Now, you have to be crazy to look at me and say, well, I'm okay where I'm at right now. Really? With a whole state that's ridden with drugs and the breakdown of the family and cross-gender bathrooms and all this stuff that's going on in our society today? Where kids are they don't even know if they're male or female anymore. We need God's power. We can't live business status quo as a Christian. It's not about just going to church. It's about having God's power because we need it. We need it. We need it. We need it. Bob needs it when he goes to the prison. 10-11 souls were saved, and I expect more will be saved as God uses him as an evangelist. But somebody has to go. Somebody has to do it. I have this thing that I do. Tanya has a little heater in her seat in the car, and it could be in the middle of the summer. I'll just be driving and slip my hand over and put that thing on high. Takes about a minute for the thing to heat up. Well, then all of a sudden, there's a ruckus in the cabin of the car. Did you push the button again? You know what? I'm going to pray that... Oh, to some other people do that too, to their wives. Oh, it's the opposite role back there. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit starts to heat your pews up a little bit. And if He's heating your pew, I sit right here, so He's got to heat mine too. I'm going to pray that God starts to heat so that you can't sit there anymore, that you can't stay the same, that you allow the power of the Spirit to come and take over your life. Number three, those that are light in the Lord have a desire to understand and begin to live out God's will. He says, therefore, don't be foolish. Don't waste your time. But understand what the Lord's will is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So the third thing is that those that are light in the Lord have a desire to understand and begin to live. So he talks about this thing, drunkenness, and he does so for a reason. Not that we can say that, oh, I've got the Holy Spirit, so now I'm out of control and I'm drunk in the Holy Spirit and all this kind of stuff. That's not the point. The point is that when a person is under the use of alcohol, they are completely lost control of their lives. That alcohol controls what they say, controls how they walk, can't walk a straight line. And alcohol is a depressant. But I want to say today that the Holy Spirit is not a depressant. He's a stimulant. He's what makes us come alive as we follow Jesus Christ. It's not us being out of control with our actions where we just do goofy things. It's about the Holy Spirit being in control of our life and Christ being glorified and honored. See, Jesus is not an animal. He's not crazy as some people make Him out to be. When the Holy Spirit fills us, He makes us shout out the name of Jesus. He makes us preach the gospel. That is the fruit of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other weird things that happen along the side as our physical bodies counteract the presence of the Lord. But who cares about all that stuff? Holy Spirit doesn't care about that stuff. What He cares about is Jesus Christ being honored and glorified and preached. So, He mentions this whole thing of alcohol, of drinking, or drunkenness rather. He says, don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery. So there's some action here. First of all, we have to identify what addictions are controlling our lives. It could be apathy. It could be relationships. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be bad relationships. It could be whatever it is, you name it. I'm sure the Holy Spirit's bringing those things to light in your own life. But the first part of this, of understanding the will of the Lord, and I know that when we take this passage in context, we could say, well, how do we know God's will? It's the Bible. Right, read your Bible. So I can say, read your Bible, get as much information again, but that's not the context of the passage. He says, understand what God's will is. Remember, he says, don't live as unwise, but live as wise. It is the application of the Word of God that he's talking about here. He's not talking about just merely filling our brains with information so that we know the will of God. He's talking about applying it to our lives, and then he's going to tell us how to do that in a moment. So number two, make a decision to surrender to God and what he's doing. How many of you, if you were honest with me, and you would say, I'm afraid if I surrender everything to God? A few of you are honest. What might happen if I give it all? What's going to change? What do I have to give up? And I want to challenge you, as he says, don't get drunk with wine. In other words, don't be controlled by other things, but surrender, give it up to the Holy Spirit. And allow God to take control of your lives, and then begin to replace these addictions with being filled with the Holy Spirit on a continuous basis. You know, when I worked at Chicago Teen Challenge, and we had gangbangers and drug addicts and you name it, demon-possessed, the most extreme things, from a little country boy going to the big city in Chicago. We could preach at them. We could give them principles for recovery. But that's not what changed. What changed is when they gave their lives to Jesus and the Holy Spirit moved in, and then they were in a worship service and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can tell you the dramatic transformations that happened after that. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit to take control of our lives. And when we do that, God does something spiritually within us. Now, don't think that you're going to get more of the Holy Spirit, because He's already there. He moved inside when you got saved, but have you let Him move? Have you allowed Him to work? Have you allowed Him to overflow? Jesus said, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. He says, come and drink of the river of life. Have you waved the flags of surrender? And I'm going to say this. In the text here, he says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. This is a continuous thing. So it's not, you know, back when I was 12 years old in 1970, I was down at the altar, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, praise God. If you look in Acts, Pentecost came, and the next few chapters, they were praying again to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they went out and spoke the Word of God boldly. Later on in the book of Acts, they were doing it again. Folks, this is the spiritual transformation that will change our community and our state, if we get this. He says, be being in it. And so there's action involved in this that we have to surrender, but there's also a passivity, because God is the one that fills. And so that leads us to the fourth point today. Those that are light in the Lord are overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit. Now I want to read this quote, being filled with the Holy Spirit. James Boyce says, it refers to our being so under the Holy Spirit's control and leading that our thought and life are entirely taken up with Jesus Christ, to whom it is the Spirit's chief responsibility to bear witness. Here's what ought to take place. People ought to say, why are you always Jesus? Why are you always talking about Jesus? Why are you a Jesus freak? Because when the Holy Spirit takes control of life, that's all they're going to see is Jesus, 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 Jesus. He's changing my thoughts. He's changing my mind. He's changing what I'm looking at. He's changing what I'm doing. Jesus. He's motivating me from the inside with the spiritual power. So what are the signs that we're filled with the Holy Spirit? He gives us signs here. Contrary to some denominations, what the signs are, here's what he says are the continuous signs. Number one, he says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, number one is mutual ministry to one another. We have a continuous outward speaking and singing lifestyle of worshiping God that encourages others. Now, when you first read that at face value, does that mean, say, I start singing to everybody that I go around to? Brother, I bless you today. I pray for you today. And the idea there is that the singing is an outflow, because when he comes to the next part of the verse, not only do we minister to one another, it says we sing into our hearts to the Lord. And so it is out of the fruit of worship, of our worship to God, that we begin to minister to other people. You know, when I look around, what fuels the fire in me is when I see other people worshiping God, when I see other Christians evangelizing, when I see other people on fire for Jesus, that gets me encouraged. That's what he's talking about, mutual encouragement. And there are types of songs that we sing to one another or that we speak to one another. And one of those is a psalm. That's a song of praise specifically sung to a stringed instrument in the literal Greek there. It's a song of praise. God, thank you for saving a sinner like me. Praise God. It is a song of shout. It is encouragement. And so it's not just the singing part, but it's how I'm encouraging my brothers and sisters. By our praise of God, by our joyful spirit, exuberant souls, it lifts others up. And then the second part of that is, if you don't like hymns, hymns are in the Bible. And we sing a hymn at the beginning of our service. And you know why we do that? Because the Bible says this is a way of worship. Because hymns are a song about Jesus that tell a story about what he's done on the cross. A hymn is a poem to be sung about Christ, who is our hero and conqueror. All I have is Christ. There is a fountain filled with blood. Those are hymns that sing about our conqueror and Jesus Christ and what he's... So you need that. You need to sing about what Jesus has done, or you need to rehearse to one another what Jesus has done on the cross. And then the last part is spiritual songs. Those are songs belonging to the wind or the breath of the Spirit. These are spontaneous songs that come from the heart. I don't know if you've ever experienced this in worship time, but when the Holy Spirit moves, sometimes you just want to sing a little ditty. So I know you do it in your prayer time, in your prayer closets. Maybe it's time that you allow the Holy Spirit to start doing that as we sing our songs of worship to the Lord. This is what the Word of God says. This is what happens when Spirit-filled worship. So we have the hymns. We have the story of Christ. We have the songs of praise and the shouting. We have the spiritual songs that come from spontaneity of the heart. You know, there's times when I've tried to just sit down with a psalm in front of me or a scripture, and then I'll just make a song out of it. That's songs that come from the wind or the breath of the Holy Spirit. Or some people would say singing in the Spirit. Now, do you see how that might encourage your brother and sister? He says, speak to one another. That is the outflow of the Spirit. The second thing, of course, is personal ministry to God. As he says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, I like this because, you know, it kind of has to do with... God likes country music a little bit, too. It says, sing praise and make melodies. And that word melodies is to pluck off, pull out, vibrate to make a twang. You didn't know that. It was in the Bible, did you? But what he's saying there is that our relationship with Jesus, we ought to just kind of just sit and pick a little with Jesus. You know? You go to some of those country churches, and what are they doing? Maybe the guy's sitting in the front row and just... just soaking it in, just slow, sitting there, enjoying the relationship with Jesus. He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Maybe you ought to do some more twanging with Jesus. Allow the Holy Spirit to move. Well, so we have ministry to others. We have ministry to God. And number three, he says, giving thanks always. And there's no mistake that that was a theme of joys and concerns today. Someone that's filled with the Holy Spirit is always giving thanks for the bad, for the good. And I will repeat this over and over because this is having the biggest impact on me and helping me learn contentment, and it's going to be a long, hard process. But my spiritual mentor said, you need to thank God for all the good things that happened today, and then you need to sit and think about what are the things that you are least thankful for today, and then thank God for those. It starts to begin to develop that gratitude and contentment in our hearts. Because if we're not content, we're always looking for something else. But the mark of a spirit-filled person, when Jesus said that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, that your thirst is going to be quenched by the power of the Spirit, it is an overflowing joy. It is an overflowing power that brings a constant gratitude. We never get bored or tired of it. Now, I've said this many times. I've had great experiences with God and with the Holy Spirit. And then I wonder why I go and get up in the morning and go to lesser things. Why? Because I'm in a battle with my flesh. But the reality is there is no greater delight than being in the presence of Jesus. And then the last thing that happens is he says, submit to one another out of reverence. There's a humility that comes. We have a healthy servant-like relationships with other believers out of reverence for God. Because we respect God, we serve one another. So I've heard, and I've been a part of churches where they said, wow, the whole church was down front and everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. And then someone says, could you help me, brother, clean the restroom? No one volunteered to clean. Oh, I'm sorry, I don't have time for that. Were they really filled with the Holy Spirit? Because these are the fruits. Is that we have a ministry to God, a relationship to God. We have ministry to others. We have gratitudes in our heart. We have respect for God in how we serve one another. Just like Jesus said, I'm going to set you an example and I'm going to wash your feet. That is the fruit. That's what the Holy Spirit loves. And so I want to pray that the Holy Spirit, that you would open yourself up to Him more and more. Because He's in there. If you're saved and you have a relationship with Jesus, but what part of you does He have? Is there an area you're holding back? Because I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit wants to put some pep in your step. He wants to give glory to your story. He wants to give power to your hour. He wants to live through you and I to make a difference in Taze Valley in West Virginia for the kingdom of God. The power of God. The power of Jesus Christ working through us. All this doctrinal stuff is great, but you got to plug it in. And being filled with the Spirit is plugging it in. So, for a month, I will be gone, but you're going to have some famous preachers that are filled with the Holy Spirit. Craig Brown and Christian Powers and Rob. Craig have been after for a while. Going to share the Word of God, but I want to encourage you this month. Say, Lord, I want to be filled with Your... Ask Him every single day to be filled with the Holy Spirit. See what God does. Let go of control. And allow the Spirit to take control. So you pray for me that I will do the same. Because I'll be out of my normal environment. It'll be a time that I expect God to do some great things. And I will definitely miss you all to death. Well, don't go to death. Stay alive. Don't not come back. Just almost, you know. Just I'll hug you just enough. Pray. Pray for a move of the Holy Spirit. I hope that when I'd come back, maybe I will no longer be needed. Well, I will be, but you know what I mean. That the power of the Spirit's working so mightily through you all that I can just sit down, although the pew's going to get hot because we're praying for these pews to get hot. I can enjoy what God's doing through you. He's already done amazing things through your lives. So, this is one more thing. Keep letting the Spirit flow through you. Keep opening yourselves up to Him. Let Him have His way. Father, I thank you so much for these dear brothers and sisters. I thank you for your patience with me, God. I thank you how you use these dear brothers and sisters to grow me and to change me and to call me to be a man that's after your heart and call me to be a man that surrenders to your Spirit. And I still got a lot of progress, a lot of work to go. So, God, I pray that you do it in all of us. God, we want your glory in our story. We want your power, Lord. And so, God, I say that you, I ask that in this coming month, Lord, that you would do things in Christ Community Church that they've never seen before. We ask that you would empower Christian and Craig and Rob as they share the Word of God and as the spiritual warfare study goes on Wednesday. God, I pray that you would just fan into flame the gifts of God. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. We give God a hand of praise. Thank you, Lord. Love you. God bless.